Welcome to the Management Minute with Dr. Donita Brown, where we sit down with business leaders to gain valuable insights and advice on how to navigate the world of management. Whether you're a seasoned manager or just starting out, this podcast is for you. I'm Donita Brown, a professor in the College of Business at Lipscomb University. I'm also an author, speaker, and habit coach. For almost 20 years, I worked in corporate America and managed teams of 2 to 102. Welcome to this week's episode. Today's guest is Eric Parmenter. Thank you so much for being here, Eric.
Thank you, Donita. I'm happy to be here.
It's lovely to see you again. So as always, these interviews have kind of the same structure. So I'm going to ask you three questions. I'm going to ask you some parting advice for managers at the very end. And before that, I'll do 60 seconds of rapid fire fun questions. Now, we'll start with your one sentence bio. And it's always fun to see how people deliver this one sentence bio. I've heard some that say, I just can't do it, and they go into their bio, which is just fine. I have heard incredibly long compound sentences. So let's hear your one sentence bio.
My name is Eric Parmenter. And I am the vice president of sales for Quantum Health in Columbus, Ohio. I'm also an adjunct professor in the MBA program here at Lipscomb University. And I'm finishing up my PhD, married, father of 7 children and 11 grandchildren.
Wow, 11 grandchildren. I had no idea. That is something I just learned about you.
It's harder to do a short bio than a long bio.
It is. It is. You really have to think about it. And it's really harder to do anything short than it is long.
Remember that famous quote from Mark Twain that said, I sat down to write you a short letter, but I didn't have time, so I wrote you a long one instead.
Yes. It's so funny. Yes. Brevity is key if you do it well, but it does take a lot to do that. All right. Are you ready for your first question?
Sure.
All right. How do your values impact your management philosophy?
To me, they're inseparable. I don't see how you could have a management philosophy of any kind that isn't rooted in your values, regardless of whether you're aware of that. So we all operate from our values, whatever they may be. They might be evil, right? They might be to rob and steal, but if that's your value, that's going to influence your management philosophy. My philosophy is Christ-centered, obviously, and I like to put others first and treat everyone with respect and kindness. And hopefully that comes through in the way I structure business strategy and work with teams and work with clients. So I think it's inseparable.
Now, you said Christ-centered and put others first. Give me an example of how you do that in your everyday management style.
I think it starts by showing genuine interest in getting to know the people we're working with. You know, I have meetings all the time. Some are virtual meetings. A lot of them are virtual meetings. I work remotely, but obviously some face-to-face meetings as well. And the conversations you have in between the meetings, the intro conversations, the banter back and forth, I think just getting to know people and appreciating their perspectives, their situation is a way to, you know, show genuine respect and interest in their lives. So it's beyond the work. It's beyond, you know, the topic at hand. And it's really about, you know, building relationships.
One of the things I talk about in my management classes is the change in management styles over the decades and how management used to be, how much can I get from you? Like how much work can you produce? And now it is, I care about you because I know if you know I care and you enjoy your job and I give you work that is meaningful, you'll do better work, like better right. work, more work. And so that conundrum or that dichotomy has kind of flipped. And so what you're saying is you want to care about people because that's the right thing to do. And that's part of your management philosophy.
It's the right thing to do. You know, I'm in the employee benefit business, the employee healthcare business. So I've helped employers with wellness programs as an example for many years. And a lot of times you'll get scrutiny on a wellness program from, say, the CFO, like what's the return on investment? And sometimes you just need to do the wellness program, not because there's a return on investment, but because it's the right thing to do. Ironically, usually those things that are the right thing to do, whether it's health and wellness or whether it's just getting to know people in the workplace, have the biggest return on investment.
Right, right, Right. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. It's interesting how that works. Ready for question number two?
Sure.
All right. Who or what has had the most impact on your management style?
That's a really good question, and it's probably hard to narrow it down to one person because I think it's a host of people that I have, starting with my parents in my core family. My father was very influential in my life, but so were my grandparents. And incidentally, when I interview candidates for a job, I ask them to tell me about themselves, starting with when they were born.
Do they remember that?
Yeah. They say no one's ever asked me that. They, you know, usually start with, like, tell me about your career from, sure, like, when you graduated from college. And you can learn so much just by understanding where they're from, what kind of family they grew up in. So to me, that's true in terms of my influences in life. I've had so many great bosses, and I've had some really bad bosses as well. They have influenced me by what not to do. And my great bosses have influenced me by just, you know, how to really build effective teams. So without naming names, you know, just a whole host of colleagues, bosses, family, friends, colleagues in school settings, academic settings, as well as work settings.
You know, it's funny you mentioned bad bosses. One of the things I like to talk about in class are the failures, because it's always more fun to talk about the failures sometimes. So, because the students think, okay, now you're really real and you have these kind of war stories that you can tell about things that have happened. And bad bosses are so much fun to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we've all had them.
Right.
Yeah. What do you do when you have a bad boss?
Well, I had a bad boss in the middle of the pandemic. I took a new job. This was in April of 2020. So think of the pandemic.
Oh, yeah. Tough time.
Day one on the job, they sent everyone home. So I'd never actually had been to an office for this job because I stayed there 1 year. It was remote the whole time. They sent all the employees home. They also cut pay day one across the board, and they laid off employees day one across the board.
So let me make sure I have this right. So you start a new job. You say it was a bad boss.
Yeah.
The day you started the new job, not only did you get a pay cut, you got sent home to work from home due to the pandemic.
Exactly. And and then that was the good part of the job, because then I realized what a bad boss I had signed up to work for. And the thing that made him a bad boss was micromanagement.
Oh, yeah.
He was the kind of boss that would redo your Excel spreadsheets and all your PowerPoint presentations because he didn't like them. And it's like, you know, I've been in business for 30 years. I'm a vice president, and you're parsing every word of my PowerPoint presentation. Like, why do you need me? So after about a year of that, I decided it was time to move on.
Yeah, definitely time to move on. And it's fun how you can think through those. Not obviously fun when you're in it, but when there's been some time removed that you think, man, I really learned a lot about what not to do in that situation. Before we get to the next question, let's pause for a quick message about Lipscomb University's College of Business. Are you looking to take your career in healthcare to the next level? If so, look no further than the MHA program at Lipscomb University. Based in Nashville, our program provides unparalleled access to some of the leading healthcare organizations and professionals in the industry. From finance to strategic management, you'll be equipped with the skills you need to succeed in the ever-changing industry of healthcare. Plus, our experienced faculty and real-world learning provides valuable networking opportunities for our students. Don't miss out. Advance your career in healthcare administration. Learn more and apply today at lipscomb.edu/MHA. All right, question number three. What book or books has made the biggest impact on you?
A lot of books. How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie is a book I read when I was in the junior high, seventh grade. And I tell you, it changed the trajectory of my high school experience. In fact, I recommend any high school kid or junior high kid to read that book. It's probably, you can listen to it on Audible, right?
Right.
And it's back to that original question of putting people first. Mm-hmm. And if you show genuine interest, genuine being the key here, not some kind of falsified interest in other people and what makes them tick and how to help them get what they want, kind of a Zig Ziglar quote here, you know, help enough people get what they want in life, you'll get what you want. Not because you're doing it for that reason, but that's the natural result of helping people succeed. And even to this day, you know, I think that book has influenced how I operate from a management style. There are many, many other books. I had a chance to study at the University of Chicago during my MBA program under Richard Thaler, who wrote the book Nudge, which is about behavioral economics. And having him teach it to my class from his own experience was terrific. In fact, that class was taught in London. They had a London campus, and it was a lot of fun. And that really got me interested in behavioral economics, which now I have taught here at Lipscomb. And Kahneman's book, Thinking Fast and Slow. I could go on down. I could probably list 1,000 books.
But list a couple more.
Lean Startup is an interesting book. Currently reading a book called Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. I've read it before. I'm reading it again. It's about the spiritual disciplines. And I actually wrote a book called Stop, 21 Stops to Reduce Stress and Enhance Joy. And in the back of that book, I list favorite books. And I think I have like 100 books listed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have 100 books listed in that book. Do you also read a lot of books?
Constantly. Yeah. And I prefer to listen to books because you can do it while you're out walking or, you know, commuting.
Right.
I still like a physical book in my hand as well.
Yeah.
But this allows me to kind of get some reading in when I otherwise would have dead time.
Right.
So, but I try to always listen to something every week, sometimes multiple books.
Okay. All right. How many books do you think you read a year?
Maybe 10 to 12.
Okay. All right. Good.
Not counting academic books that I'm required to read.
Right. As you're finishing up your PhD, there are definitely those. All right. Are you ready for the 60 seconds of rapid fire questions?
Mm-hmm.
What motivates you to get out of bed?
Love for the work.
How do you take your coffee?
Black.
You can have a dinner party with four people that are all dead. Who would they be?
Abraham Lincoln, Jesus, C.S. Lewis, and Margaret Thatcher.
Texting or talking?
Talk.
What's your favorite kind of pizza?
Supreme.
Best movie you ever watched?
Deep Dish, Chicago Supreme.
Oh, I like how you quantified that. Best movie?
It's a Wonderful Life.
What's the biggest challenge you've ever faced?
Went through a divorce midlife.
What's one class you took in college that you didn't take seriously that you wish you would have taken?
I'm tempted to say statistics because I know I should take that more seriously than I am. In fact, I'm in advanced statistics right now. But part of me says I don't really want to take it that seriously either, if that makes any sense.
Oh, it totally makes sense. That's one area that I wish I was much better on. I just finished my dissertation, and I'm a qualitative research, so I like how words, you know, words matter. But I really wish I had more of that quantitative, you know, just natural aptitude. Okay, your parting advice for managers. If you could talk to a group of managers and you had a minute to say whatever you wanted to say to them, what advice would you give them?
Stop talking and start listening. And that may seem trite, but I really think that you will be more effective as a manager the more you listen and really try to understand what the other person is not just saying, but where they're coming from, where they're going, what they're trying to get across. And if you can understand the perspectives of others, the time for you to talk will come, and it may not require a lot of words, but you can be more on point.
That's good. That's good. Well, thank you so much for being here. Thanks for being a guest this week. Really enjoyed it. You have a great book called Stop, written by Eric Parmenter. It's out on Amazon. Is that correct?
Right.
All right. Thank you again, Eric.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Management Minute. We hope you enjoyed this week's interview. If you like this episode, please share it with a friend or colleague. If you have suggestions for future guests, please send me their contact information to donita.brown@lipscomb.edu. You can also subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to connect with me on LinkedIn. Thank you.
This podcast is powered by the College of Business Content Creation Studio at Lipscomb University.